15 past the hour. Good morning. It's morning's edition on Air America Radio. We're broadcasting live from the new school's famous Tishman Auditorium. We're on 12th Street, just east of 6th Avenue. We got Sarah Jones coming up momentarily. I'll do it right now. His hilarious pieces as a senior correspondent on Comedy Central's The Daily Show have earned him not only a loyal following, but also his very own show. Here's a taste of it.
Tired of news programs that only give you one side of the story or the other? Well, he'll give you neither. Tune in to The Colbert Report.
It's French, bitch.
The Colbert Report.
Where I say whatever's on my mind. And a few things that aren't.
Tired of statements backed up by research?
Then take a spin in the no-fact zone.
The Colbert Report.
Because right or wrong, I'm right. And you're wrong.
On October 17th, our next guest launches that show, The Colbert Report, which will air right after The Daily Show. Please welcome Stephen Colbert.
Yeah!
Hello, thank you. Thank you, New School.
It's good to see you, my friend.
It's lovely to see you again.
The last time I saw you was the Chevy Chase roast, and that was the worst night of my life.
Was it really?
Yeah, it was weird, wasn't it?
It was a remarkably unheartwarming affair.
To say the least. It looked like someone had forced Chevy Chase to be there.
Mm-hmm.
It was completely disastrous. So tell us about the new... Well, they made it look good, though. That's called sweetening. You were very funny. I, of course, tanked. It was horrible.
I don't remember your stuff.
Well, that's because it was...
Now you've
No, but it. Kevin Meaney ate it so hard.
Yes, he did worse than me.
I don't think you did terribly, because Kevin Meaney did it so terrible. It was so terrible that night.
I'll tell you.
Everything else got washed out of
that
my
was
brain.
When he started singing Ethel Merman?
Yeah.
And I don't even think that made it to the final cut.
And Kevin's very funny.
Very funny guy.
Very
funny
guy.
From 1982.
He turned to me literally as we were walking on stage. And he said, "Did you prepare anything?"
A couple weeks after that, here's the moment I had. Some guy comes up to me at a party. I was in Los Angeles and goes, "Man, I saw you on the Chevy Chase roast, man. You were hilarious. That was great." And there was this weird, and I'm like, "Thanks." And he keeps looking at me and goes, "You're Stephen Colbert, right?" I'm like, "No, similar glasses at the time."
It's the glasses,
yeah.
Exactly.
So tell us about the new show.
It's going to change the world.
Well, Mark. That's good. We need that to happen.
Absolutely. We have 8 weeks. To change the world.
There you go.
That's the initial commitment from Comedy Central. And they say if we don't change the world, if there's not a marked change in the state of affairs of the entire world by Christmas, off we go. Yeah.
So how is it going to unfold? It's a half-hour show.
It's a half-hour show.
Okay.
If you think of The Daily Show as like headline, like evening news kind of,
right.
We're O'Reilly or, Scarborough or even sort of the sexiness of Anderson Cooper.
Right.
Or I love his suits, and his camera angles and the folksiness of Aaron Brown, the way he mulls the news. No, there's such a rich story unfolding in New Orleans, among the tragedy down there. One can't help but not be unmoved. No one mulls the news like Aaron Brown. He pre-sucks the flavor out of the news before he hands you like a little blonde Tic Tac that he's taking the coating of flavor from the news off and hands it to you. And he's got his bookshelf. We're gonna have bookshelves. He's got bookshelves in the background to show you that he's I'm a thinker.
Yeah, yeah. I've done the research. Here it all is.
We're gonna have the morning papers like he does too.
Oh, good.
But we're gonna have foreign papers, and I don't understand what any of them say. I'm guessing based on what the pictures are.
Stephen, how closely do you actually follow the news?
I don't at all.
At all. I didn't know.
I come in and I read what's on the front. I've always followed the news. I've loved Aaron Brown ever since he was on ABC News Overnight. from 1 a.m. to 4 a.m. because I couldn't afford cable. That was where I got my news. I love the news.
So
I mean, actually,
I actually like
journalists a lot.
Uh-huh.
It's just that they're hilarious when they fall short of, you know, their own expectations.
So all the time?
All the time, yeah. Journalists, I mean, are the people who come up to us most of all at the Daily Show and go, oh, you guys got it just right, man. You nailed us. Like, you know, we're mocking you and, you know, at all times. Yeah.
Yeah.
But they, I think they all think, like, you're that other guy, not me.
Yeah. That's what everyone thinks, that you're never making fun of them.
No, which is nice, though, because then you can continue to make fun of them and still get invited to their parties.
Yeah. They like this. That's what amazes me about the Daily Show is just how much people, they are flattered by the ridicule.
Yeah. Come on.
Hurt me.
Make fun of me. Hey, I've got this project I'm working on, and I think you'd find it laughable. I mean it. Like, hey, I'm doing this thing. I bet you'd really tear me a new one. Like, yeah, probably. But now that you know, you've taken all the joy out of it.
Now, what's this? Is this gonna put any sort of problem between you and John, or is this?
Oh, there's already a huge rift between
me
and John.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. I mean, look, Daily Show's had a good run. He's a cute guy. Don't get me wrong.
You're going to settle this like men? Is that the idea?
In the ratings.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, look, the Daily Show just hasn't taken up the responsibility of changing the world with the awesome power of basic cable, which we're going to do. No, anything that's not good for the Daily Show isn't good for me.
Oh, now you're playing the party line there. So now, are you... Does this mean that no more appearances on the Daily Show? Is someone who's going
to
fill?
I would still like to do This Week in God. That's the one thing.
Yeah.
I would really miss going. That's me now. That is trademarked. That's like three-peat.
Am I remembering properly when I first met you a million years ago when we both had the
Sassy.
Yeah, Sassy. Short Attention Span Theater. I killed that show. Yes.
Yes.
You were living in a seminary.
Right? I was living in the General Theological Seminary of the Episcopal Church in Chelsea, yeah.
What's that about?
God, man. Jesus loves you. Deal with it. Don't you listen to Lawton at all?
I do.
It's not all crazy.
Where do you live now, rich guy?
An undisclosed location in the New York area. A gated community.
That
beard would not allow you in, Mark. And I don't even want to start.
Start, yeah. Yeah, I know. I know. That's okay. I'm going on the Wolf Blitzer So Poor, So Black tour.
Oh, that's wonderful.
That's a good one.
I mean,
one,
you know, dude, I'm sure you guys have talked about it, but actually working on a new show, I'm kind of less topical than I used to be.
Will you hold the thought?
No.
We're with Stephen Colbert from The Daily Show and soon to be of the Colbert Report. We'll be back with Stephen Colbert momentarily. You're listening to Air America Radio's Morning Sedition, coming to you live from the New School here on 12th Street, just east of 6th Avenue. It's 27 past the hour.
Morning Sedition with Mark Maron and Mark Riley on Air America Radio. CNN's 25th anniversary, Morning Sedition is proud to present Great Moments in Journalism on CNN.
You simply get chills every time you see these poor individuals. As Jack Cafferty just pointed out, so tragically, so many of these people, almost all of them that we see, are so poor and they are so black, and this is going to raise lots of questions.
This has been Great Moments in Journalism on CNN, brought to you by Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Yeah, I got a couple questions. 34 past the hour, Mark Maron, that's Mark Riley. You're listening to Morning Sedition on Air America Radio, coming to you live from the New School here on 12th Street, just east of 6th Avenue. Still some coffee left. Come on down. We're talking to The Daily Show, Stephen Colbert. Soon to be the Colbert Rapport Show's Stephen Colbert. Huh? Next right. month. You excited? You're not freaking out yet.
No, I'm not freaking out. My wife says I'm treating this the way I treated my wedding.
Yeah.
Which is at like 5 o'clock the day up, I went, oh my gosh, do something. I gotta think I have vows to write.
You waited to the last minute?
I did, the last minute. Yeah. I just my vows just went, I'll be good.
Oh, you mean there's vows that you write at a wedding?
Did you shuffle a lot of papers to say that?
I had note cards.
So let's talk about, like, we just listened to that Wolf Blitzer, that gaffe, I guess you would call it. Now,
yeah.
Why has it, these guys get nervous when they actually have to cover real news, it seems. That there is no, you watch all these guys with the hurricane, they've finally found their opportunity to be real journalists again,
sure.
And they're rising to the occasion, many of them.
It's been pretty impressive, actually,
and
for
freaky.
The most part. Yeah.
They get freaky because it's like, I'm really doing it. Yeah.
Well, I think they're shocked at the horror of the situation. I mean,
yes.
I don't want to take anything from the journalists to like go to Iraq and,
sure.
and have been in the poop there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we can't say the actual word, but, I think that people are startled that there's something that horrific going on in the United States.
Now, how have you guys handled over there at the DS there?
I haven't. What did happen down in New Orleans?
I was up at
Cape Cod for the week.
That's funny that you bring that up.
And I didn't have a TV, but let me tell you about this tragedy that happened with my lobster pot. I had a couple of big, beautiful, like two-pounders in there,
yeah.
And I'd put them up on the rocks, you know, because I didn't want to boil them. I wanted to steam them.
Yeah.
And I had them on the rocks, and I thought the rocks would hold.
Yeah.
And then I went out on the porch to have a G&T.
Yeah.
And I came back in, and the water had risen above the lobster.
Wow. Tragic.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And, you know, steaming, you go 20 minutes.
Right.
Boiling, you don't want to do more than five.
And you had no idea how long they were
I had no idea that this was happening. If I had known, I would have gone in immediately. But I had no idea that those rocks could give way underneath those lobsters.
Horrible.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
You put the rocks in for, like, the salty.
Sure,
tang,
sure.
You know.
So you had to throw them out, probably.
No, they were delicious.
No.
But the meat was very tough. It was a tragedy.
See, that was tremendous
now,
reporting.
Catch me up on New Orleans. What happened down there?
There was a storm. The president dropped the ball. FEMA dropped the ball. They left a lot of people there. Still people waiting to be helped. And it's a disaster. It's
that's
terrible.
Not good.
Yeah, it's terrible.
No.
You should tell John.
He's got people. Now Blitzer, I think the problem is it's what he rubs into his beard to keep it soft.
Something's being absorbed into his head.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, you know, they've been up for so long.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's
you know, it's not like the situation where he does an hour and then he goes, you know, they put him back into his chamber. They've been up for so long, he's beginning to look like one of the orangutans from Planet of the Apes, you know? They're just putting layer after layer of makeup on these guys because they're so tired, and his skin has turned a brilliant orange with this just fringe of you know, glowing white.
Yeah.
You know? It looks like Dr. Zaius. I think he was just tired, you know?
Yeah. But no,
let's hope he was
just tired.
Tired.
But you know what? There is no denying those people are very dark-skinned.
Oh, is that what it is?
It wasn't a pejorative. He was just pointing out that... Look, they're dark-skinned. He was celebrating them.
I guess Halle Berry was nobody lighter than her at the thing.
So that was philosophically much like Dr. Zaius in his assumption about humans. Anyways, yeah, we'll move on.
Man is a mad animal.
He's a mad animal. Hey, you know what? I want to have an awkward silence with you.
Let's do it.
That was horrible.
I didn't get nearly awkward enough for me.
Yeah, well, we can do more of that. It's great on radio when you have dead air. Yeah. When people at home start going, is there something wrong with this?
Not everybody has the courage to put nothing out over the airwaves.
Yeah, this is true.
Well, let's stand up and do it.
We can clear our throats.
What,
just to let
that?
People that there's still a signal coming.
Oh, David. Oh.
How about O'Reilly? Yeah.
Yeah. Are we done yet?
Did I derail this great conversation?
No, I think it was me. It was
okay.
Definitely me. I'm
I'd
the
like
host.
To say
that's
so.
My responsibility. That's my responsibility.
Guess, think, yeah.
So let's ask the question that people always ask. Now, why is it that it seems that comedians and people, satirists, have to sort of take the lead in breaking news and setting a tone and also just having the courage to, you know, reveal that there is something really going on and the hypocrisy in that?
I don't know. I think comedians are by nature iconoclasts, mm-hmm. you know, because they tear down status. You know, the status quo is a great big fat target. Mm-hmm. And so I think people go into comedy because they have that natural inclination to do so. Most of them, you know, most of them got stomped on the throat when they were in high school.
Yeah.
So, but people who are actually in the news media are in positions of power, and so it's sort of like attacking themselves. You know,
okay.
I think generally speaking, they're part of the status quo, so they don't want to attack it.
So they're too in bed with what's going on. They're playing politics, and
they're playing tennis.
Yeah.
Not politics.
Right.
They're playing tennis with those guys, and then you can't, you know, then on Monday you can't go attack them.
So you got like one guy out there, like Seymour Hirsch is the only guy doing anything
right.
worthwhile.
Yeah, you're like, listen, Cheney's a good guy. I went to dinner at his house. You know, yes, this happened, but listen, his wife is so sweet. You know.
So,
you know I'm being ironic, right? You people aren't that far gone, right?
No, actually, that guy is that far gone. That guy right there, he comes all the time. He's
really?
Way out there
no
on
irony?
The edge. There's
no
a couple
irony?
Other ones, yes.
Uh-huh.
There's a woman here also who will find something to complain about that was inappropriate in our conversation.
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, it's terrific. Some very committed followers here mm-hmm. at the Morning's Edition where you yes. can do nothing right, and they enjoy telling you that. Like someone will come up to me after this three-hour broadcast and say, nothing on Darfur? Nothing? I got to live with that every day. Every day the emails come. Anyways, nice to see you.
Oh, it's nice to see you, too.
I'm sorry. Was I talking? I
no, I suddenly became a listener. I was enjoying it. I was in my car in my driveway saying, I should go into work.
With your driver. I like how you threw that in.
Yeah, really. Okay.
My driveway. My driveway, man.
Okay, all right.
Driver.
I'm sorry.
It's basic cable.
It's okay. I'm not. Yeah. Look, when the show starts October 17th.
Yeah.
And
October
17th. Colbert Report.
Right.
Stephen Colbert, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
From The Daily Show. We will be back momentarily with Sarah Jones. You're listening to Morning's Edition, coming to you live from the New School on 12th Street, just east of 6th Avenue. You can still come down if you're in the neighborhood, 42 Paseawa.